Hey guys, welcome to Taste of Recovery, the podcast,
where we explore one's honest journey of surrender, willingness, acceptance, and courage.
I'm Alicia Spenlove.
And I'm Eden Sassoon.
Please join us every week for authentic and raw conversations with inspiring people in recovery.
We invite you and our guests to get real because the disease of addiction does not discriminate.
Oh no, it doesn't. And we go through so many emotions. We laugh, we cry, we pray.
So get ready for a taste of recovery.
We don't get well so we can work with others. We work with others so we can get well.
Hey y'all, we have Justin Hodak in the studio today.
Enjoy his taste of recovery.
It's hard to get it through to somebody when they're in it, right? There's nothing you can say, right? Because I remember when I was out there, people could have begged, prodded, paid me. When I wasn't done, I wasn't fucking done. You could have told me, oh, your kids are fucking starving. I'd been like, yeah, fuck those kids. You know what I mean? Like, when do I think that is most people are reachable? Not when they're fucking getting wasted. It's that day after when they hit the four horsemen, the terror, bewilderment, frustration, and despair. And then they're in that moment of, oh, fuck, what did I do? And then you're like, hey, I got a solution. Tell me, I'll fucking do anything. Well, you just gotta fucking clean house, trust God, and help people. I'll get back to you. Get the fuck out of here, right? It's like so simple, right? It's so simple. And like, that's what my life's been like now. Like, my life's been better because I practice the simplicity. And that's what's really made it simple, right? Like, for me lately, like, it's just, where can I be the blessing? I believe now that every opportunity that comes to you in your life, you have a choice on what you do. You can figure out how to be the blessing, or you can act a fool. When I act a fool, I realize that I prolong my agony, right? I look at all the stuff, like all the breakups I didn't want to let go of, or the jobs that I think that I want to keep. And you end up losing those fucking things anyways. And everything always works out to where you're fucking okay. You can move, shake, manipulate, do whatever the fuck you want, claw, beg, fucking get your teeth kicked in. Your teeth ticked in. That too. I've had that happen too. Right? But everything seems to work itself out. And like, through this process, the way I do things now, it's actually given me a place to be more grounded, right? Learning to master your pause, right? How do I master my pause, right? Because the way I see things is the way I will feel things. And the way I feel things is the way I will experience things, right? My dog shit analogy. I can be having the best day in the world, my little headphones and walking, and oh, look at the birds and look at the clouds. And I step in dog shit and I'm on the phone with a friend. I'm like, bro, you'll never fucking believe what happened. I just stepped in dog shit. Give me a second. I gotta get this shit off my shoe, right? Or I can be in that fucked up, whose fucking dog is this? Babe, load my gun. Fuck that shit, right? Like, yeah. It depends on where you're at and where you're feeling. But how do I get to that feeling? By working with others, becoming more useful, building my self-confidence, becoming a tool, right? I keep my AA today, like my recovery, like helping people, like very simple. We go through that book line by line, word by word, right? We tell the history because we can't understand it if we don't understand the history and why it works, right? I have to define words that I don't understand because I can't transmit a message that I don't understand, right? And I also have to break it down in terms that are more jive linguistic of 2024 than it was uppity yuppie of 1939, right? I got to be able, you know, and I sponsor some guys that are fucking, you know, they're a little rough. Look at me. They're a little rough around the edges, right? They're a little rough around the edges, right? You know, it's just that simplicity of like one alcoholic helping another. Like, I even pop quiz my guys. Like, I'm like, all right, dude, what is it all about? Helping others. What does must mean? Not a suggestion. What's an allergy? An abnormal reaction, right? Because my head is a tricky mechanism, right? I wake up in the morning. I open my eyes. My girlfriend's going to leave. I'm going to lose my job. My friends aren't really my friends. They're trying to fuck me over. They don't love me. And I'm going to die naked and afraid in a cold, dark place. The story that's going on in my head does not exist. 99.9% of it does not exist. Never comes to fucking fruition. All that is from moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. And when I'm constantly finding where I can be the blessing and as many guys as I'm working with, what's happening is I'm working all my steps while I'm doing that. While I'm admitting that I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life is unmanageable, I come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. I'm making a decision to turn over that because the closest I get to God is working with you. It goes against every fucking grain in my selfishness and my self-centeredness to sit down across the table from somebody and teach them about their alcoholism. But I'm also very clear with them. You know, I love it when the guys that I work with, they're like, oh, thank you so much. You're not too. No, bro. Thank you. I go, let me teach you something, bro. Right now, we're not treating your alcoholism. We're treating mine. I'm giving you the tools to treat yours. That's why it's so important that you start working with others immediately. And this is the thing. There's a teacher, there's a student, and there's a format. And I'm not any different than you. There's no hierarchy here. It's just me. I'm just as fucking crazy as you are. You put one drink in me, I'm fucking off to the races. This program is to teach me to be more dependent on God than dependent upon a sponsor. A sponsor cannot save himself. I'm not here to give you, I can share an experience of what I've had in my life, and whether or not you choose to do that is your business. But I also want you to know that no matter what I tell you in my experience, if you don't do that, I'm not going to shame you for it, because then I become useless, right? Because now you're too ashamed to call me. Now you're too afraid to fucking tell me what really fucking happened. What you do is what you do. That is none of my business. I am here to transmit a message and to teach you how to fucking stay sober. And the book promises you in the end that if your house is in order, you can transmit something that you finally got. Your fear of economic insecurity is going to leave you. And the most important piece, if your house is in order, you will know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. All that relationship stuff and all that, the answers will come when your own house is in order. You don't need me to give you fucking direction. If you're fucking doing this work and you're working with others and you're hearing somebody else's insanity, logically, you can put it to what's going on in your life and apply it. Right? You know, so it's like this program makes me very God dependent, right? I don't call my sponsor when I'm broken. I call my sponsees when I'm broken. I call my sponsor if I'm baffled, right? When I'm in a dark place, and I tell people like this all the time, like I'm very old school, right? Like anonymity, right? These guys weren't anonymous because they were afraid of losing their job. Everybody knew they were assholes. Everybody knew they were fucked up. They remained anonymous because their group was so small. They were 100. And there were millions of alcoholics, and they knew if they blew up their spot, they would be completely fucking overrun by millions of people looking for an answer. They wouldn't be able to help all of them because they work it like an avocation, which is like a hobby or a job. The word sponsor, I have a completely fucking different view on that because they were so small and it was 100 people, right? What a sponsor did was say, hey guys, this is Eden. Eden's kind of fucked up. Like, I'm going to bring her into the group. And the group vouched. I just sponsored you into the group. That's what a sponsor was. Sponsor didn't tell you when to tie your shoes or who to fuck or where to work or nothing like that. They took you through those steps and had you working with other alcoholics immediately. And once I changed my perspective, like, we start our work, like, with a prayer. God, take away everything I think I know about this process, about this book, and about you, God, so I can have an experience with you. And that's what happens with a game of telephone. When you start with something here and it fucking mushrooms and mushrooms, the message becomes diluted, right? And however people stay sober, and as long as they're fucking not getting loaded and they're not dying, I'm cool. Well, and it always amazes me too. It's like when somebody comes to me and go, oh, I think I should go through my steps again. I'm like, for what? For what? So you can fucking do more inventory, which is more self? Do you think you're going to digest some new chunks of truth about yourself? Do you think you're going to find some unicorn of a fucking character defect that's been hiding up your ass for the last fucking 12 years? You want to fucking get right? Grab somebody and work with them. Watch the miracle in process. Watch the miracle. Allow the Spirit of God to fill in you. Because once we do that on a daily basis, like the way I do it, I have book sessions with guys lined up every day. And it's like going to the gym, right? If I go to the gym 1 hour, one day a week, I'm not going to fucking get bigger. Right? I got to constantly be in there doing strenuous work. My body is going to get sore and it's going to adapt to the work that I'm doing. So if I am a selfish, self-centered, arrogant, egotistical fucking prick and I fucking fill my day with working with you, what's going to happen? I'm going to become less selfish. I'm going to care more about you than I care about myself. I'm going to have obligations where I need to be responsible to show up to you. And what happens is now I've shifted my perspective to thinking about me all the time. And it says it in the book, that constant thought of others. I am constantly thinking about the people that I have to work with that day. And I know how good that it makes me feel. It's like my AA is like, I like my dope. I like it pure, raw, and uncut. I'm more, like somebody told me the other day, they're like, you're more calm because I just accept things the way they are, right? Even when, you know, even when the franchise tax board zeroed out my account on Friday, right? My first knee-jerk reaction was, well, we got to blow that place up, right? That would be my knee-jerk reaction. But I'm like, it's cool. I'm not worried. You know, I got a little dough in my sock. Like, I'll make the call. And then I'm on the phone with these motherfuckers for 4 hours just to tell me that I got to call another number. But it was cool. And then Monday I called them, you know, talked to them. Everything was put back into my account. I'm just like, there's nothing I can do. When you're powerless, you're powerless. There's nothing you can do. Sit in it. It's always going to work out the better way. It's like, you know, when people call me like, oh, I got this problem and this problem and this problem, this problem. Work with others. And I promise in 6 months, you're going to have a whole different set of problems. A whole different set of problems, right? I got a 6 month God. God, why is this happening? This fucking bullshit. Shut up, stupid. I'll tell you in 6 months. Shut up.
Okay, I get it now. Sorry that I fought it for 5 months and fucking 29 days.
You know, just chill. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter because when I'm in those sessions and I'm filling myself with the Spirit, right? Like I'm good. I'm good for fucking that hour. I'm not thinking about myself. I'm not thinking about my problems, right? I got loaded 24/7. I can't give up a fucking hour a day for somebody else. It's a selfless practice, right? Does it happen like right from the rip? No, it's like working out. You got to get sore and it got to be accustomed and you got to start doing it. And now like more, you know, I still get in mindsets of this and that, you know, but I'm really good at unfucking myself today, right? I'm like, I gotta, and I tell myself, you're telling yourself a fucking story right now. You've just, and I'll look at my lady and I'll tell her the truth. I go, look, dude, I've just fucking, you've left. I just got fired, right? Everything's fucking horrible. Brazil's gonna turn to shit. And just unfuck yourself. I'm like, it's really simple.
And you will you tell us? Yeah. How do you unfuck yourself?
I just go, hey, how you doing? What are you doing right now? Do you want to fit in a session right now? What's going on with you? It's that fucking simple. Instead of fucking walking around the house, pacing, smoking a million fucking cigarettes, thinking about how this is internally like a 4-year-old. Ah! Right? Right?
Yeah.
Man the fuck up. Man the fuck up and think, dude, go against every fucking grain. But it's so hard, right? When you're in spirituality, we question spirituality because it's not tangible. It's not like I give you this and you give me that. With spirituality, it's what I'm putting out into the universe and allowing it to fucking embrace me when it comes back. And it may not come back right in that fucking moment. It may come back in a week when fucking, you know, you just happen to get the good parking spot that's fucking 2 feet from when you pull into the lot when Trader Joe's or something like that. You're like, fuck this fucking parking's gonna suck. And it's just sitting there glowing. And you're like, you know, it's just coming back tenfold. It's the little shit. Mm-hmm. It's the little shit.
Yeah, so I'm really hearing this action of staying in service, getting out of yourself. And yeah, sure, that comes when we're in the program, but also in other ways as well.
It comes, like I said, you find the opportunity to be the blessing, right? And sometimes it's not easy. I'm not saying that I walk around like a saint. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking all kinds of fucked up with my thinking, right? It starts in the morning and it follows me into the shower, right? Mm-hmm. 10% of the time washing my body, 10% of the time washing my hair, 80% of the time winning arguments with people who aren't in the room. Mm-hmm. And it ends physically. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, like mm-hmm. my thinking is fucked up, right? Do I think that that's alcoholic thinking? No. No. And some people don't agree with me. I think that's human condition. Mm-hmm. I think the mind is human condition to go through doomsday scenarios. The difference between me and normal people is they can have a drink with impunity and shake off the anxiety. But when I drink, it triggers something within my body that now I am off to the races. I can't stop once I put it into my body until I end up in a hospital or in a cell. That's the difference between them and I. Once I trigger that thing within my body, that's what makes my disease twofold, right? It's mind and body. They're just both as sick, right? And then, like it says in the book, right? Having come from the well-known stages from a spree, like remorse, right? Mm. Knowing that is injurious. It is injurious, right? I can no longer differentiate the truth from the false, that this is what's killing me. I've just completely shit my life, got a fucking DUI, a fucking ADW, a fucking, you know what I mean? And then to deal with that toxic shame that I'm feeling from the repercussion, I numb it out with more booze. What am I, fucking insane? It just goes to show that my mind is just as sick as my body, right? And the only thing that is going to be a substantial substitute for that is getting closer to God. And how do I get closer to God? By working with my brother or with my sister, right? Like, I'm very old school when it comes to that stuff. I don't negate, you know, you hear all this deluded message, men stick with the men and women stick with the women and blah, 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 blah. I'll help anybody who wants fucking help. I will help anybody who wants help. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what fucking religion you practice. AA is my church, right? I have my own beliefs and my own biases, but when I get there, we're under the umbrella of alcoholic. And, you know, my responsibility statement is when the hand of AA reaches out, I want to be there just like it was for me. I don't care what you fucking believe. In this room, we're just two assholes, two drunks talking to each other. I'm no better than you. I just know how to chalk up a few more days, but I'm no better than you. I'm still the guy who fucking cheats on my fucking girlfriend. I'm still the guy who fucking gets into fucking fist fights. I'm still the guy who fucking drives his car into shit. I'm still the guy who gets arrested, right? I've just learned a simple solution, and the solution is simple. Help people.
I'm processing so much. And you make me
cry,
yes. And question so much. And my sponsor's always like, ask the question. I'm like, what fucking question? And the truth is, I don't know shit, which means I have 100,000 questions. Sometimes I feel that I don't know enough to give it away. Right. And I don't have the 12 steps under my belt to give it. And then I get all in my head and all the whole disease starts acting up. I know.
So all you're doing, right? I have guys that tell me that all the time. Well, I'm just afraid, like, I'm not going to sound it like you. Da, 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 da. I've been doing it this way for about 8 months. The more I work with you, the more I regurgitate the words that are fucking written on the page. The more I regurgitate those words, the more they're stuck in my brain. Right? If you read an article in the news that you really thought was cool, you're not going to fucking not tell your friend because you're afraid of sounding stupid. You're going to call them and you're probably going to butcher it, but you're really excited about it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And eventually you're going to start regurgitating it enough that you're going to know exactly what the fuck you're talking about. None of us come into this world a master, and by no means am I a master. I am still but a pupil, right? I remain teachable. Right? But you're never, like, when people say that, I say, well, you have 4 more days or 20 more days than this fucking guy, right? And you're going by a diluted message, right? When Ebby shared the message with Bill, he had 60 fucking days. When Bill shared the message with Bob, there wasn't even really a message because the book hadn't been fucking written. He had 6 months sober, right? But he's regurgitating. He's like, you don't understand. Bill was a salesman. You don't understand. You got to fucking work with others.
Which is the spirit of God.
Which is the spirit of God.
Ding, 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 right? Ding, ding, ding.
Because you got to remember, too, Bob was a very religious man, right? He went to church every day. He was a deacon in his church. But he couldn't understand why God couldn't remove his alcoholism. He thought God was the almighty, all-powerful. So when a man of faith meant a man of action, a miracle was born. Faith without works is dead. You have to put your godliness into action. You can't just sit there and pray and hope that things are going to go away. No, you have to fucking start the ball rolling. All right, God, I want you to remove my alcoholism. Here's my end of the bargain. I'm going to do your work. I'm going to do your work. I'm going to do what's best for complete fucking strangers with no monetary fucking attachment for it other than to see these guys succeed. It's the closest that you that I'm going to get. And I pray that we, when I get up there and I'm judged, that you just kind of bury all that other shit and let me in. Right? And it's because there's a lot of shit. Right? There's a lot of shit. There's a lot of scandalous shit in the fucking, a lot of fucking bones in the fucking closet, dude. You know? But, you know, it's not what happened. It's what's happening, right? So when people tell me that, I say, you selfish fuck. All you're doing is regurgitating words that have been written that you've defined, and it's things that you've highlighted and things that we've written in this book together. It's right here. It's a format. You have a syllabus to share. It's not your message. It's the message. It's been fucking going on since 1934. I've just been able to break it down into terms that are 2024 white trash slang.
God, I love you.
You know, and I've had some guys, I mean, I've had moments. I got one guy, big old black guy from Oklahoma, gangster, gangbanger. Came into the Valley Club when I met him, reminded me of me, just walked in all. I ain't getting no sponsor, right? I'll do it on my own. And then he heard me talk, and then he's like, you sound like the only guy that can speak my language. And this is a big man, proud man, blasted, tattoos on the neck. This motherfucker knows where the bodies are buried, dude. You know what I mean? And we got to his inventory, and there was something that he had left off. He was like, hey, I need to tell you something. I've been holding on to this for a long time. When his son was 2 years old, he was out walking his two-year-old son. And this guy came around a corner and fucking hit him and the son with the car, killed the son. Just to add insult to injury, the dude that hit him just happened to be a nephew of the district attorney. So what they did was they ended up letting the nephew go, put Marlon in jail for child negligence for murder of his own son. He fought the case, he beat the case, but he's been holding on to this resentment forever. So I'm there and I'm like, oh, this guy's got to die. But I'm in the spirit of being useful. That's not useful. That's going to get everybody a life sentence. So I had to make a couple phone calls, right? I had to make a couple phone calls. I had to call, you know, I had to get Jesus on the horn, dude, right? Mm. And so I see him and I'm like, you got to make an amends to this guy. He looked at me like I had 8 fucking heads. And I didn't see him for a week after that. So I go to the Valley Club one night for a meeting and he walks up to me. And he's like, hey, Mark called me. I go, Mark? He's like, Mark. It just so happened that while this was going on, Mark's girlfriend ended up getting a job with Marlon's baby mama. And they started talking about when they knew it and then got the number and called Marlon. So Marlon, I go, well, this is the opportunity for you to make amends, right? So he calls him and he goes, I just want to let you know that I forgive you I just want to let you know that I forgive you. I've been harboring a lot of hate in my heart. So he didn't tell me. Then he calls me. He goes, I called Mark. I said, what happened? He goes, I made an amends to him. I told him I'd forgive him. And then I blocked him. I go, you blocked him? I was like, you stupid motherfucker. I was like, you are the only light to be useful, because it was just like I had told him. I said, listen, I go, I'm trying to see it from this other dude's perspective. This guy is probably like, if I would have ran over a child, I would be holed up in a motel right now, loaded, drinking myself to death, fucking complete. And it was the same thing when the guy called. He goes, I just want to let you know, like, I've never been able, I'm scared that your gang's going to kill me. I've been drinking. I've been hiding out in motels. It was exactly like I thought that it was going to be. I go, then you blocked him. So Marlon did something that to this day was one of my most beautiful experiences I've ever had. Marlon called the dude back and just, he's like, you know what? I just want to let you know, like I said, I forgive you. And he says, do you need help? And Marlon doubled down and gave this dude the number to the same treatment center that Marlon was at, so this dude could come into treatment. Did the guy follow up on it? No. The next day, the wife quit the job, and the guy went into the wind like Kaiser Sose. He was gone. He only showed up in the middle of Marlon's ninth step for him to make that amends. But what I learned from Marlon... What I learned from Marlon was my petty resentments aren't shit. This man made an amends and left the hate go in his heart for a man who ran over and murdered his 2-year-old boy, who was his fucking world. And let me tell you something. Ever since then, Marlon does nothing but work with others. He ended up getting this job that, you know, the boss just happened to be sober and made him a supervisor when he was all worried. He's like, I'm afraid I'm going to go back to, I'm going to not get a job and I'm going to go back to Oklahoma. I go, dude, stop. Let everything work itself out. The guy's got a, you know, good career. He supervises over there. He's got such a peace in his heart. And he called me the other day, and now he's actually moving back to Oklahoma because his family actually wants him back in his life. I couldn't be more happier. But he taught me more about forgiveness, about love, about tolerance, about like anything that any sponsee has ever taught me. I don't learn through self-knowledge. I learn through selflessness. You're teaching me more about myself than I will ever learn through any self-help book. You teach me tolerance. But you also teach me about unconditional love and absence of anything tangible, because the thing that I really want out of this is to see you get better, because I begin to care about you. And then when I'm starting to care about you, that's what fills up my spirit and makes me a better person. And all that fucking ice and all that coldness and all that fucking black shit that's in my soul is starting to be relieved piece by piece by piece. And I can fucking wake up in the morning and look myself in the mirror a little better. Yeah, people can say what they want about my past. I don't care. People judge you by your past because they're intimidated by your presence.
Woo.
Questions? Do you need like some Kleenex or something?
I'm just taking it in. It's remarkable.
Like, I think about the strenuous work that these guys went through. Like I said, having to comb the sanitariums and the hospitals. If these guys, if they wouldn't have done that, if they would have been like, oh, I'll just rest on my laurels. Or, oh, I don't feel like going to, you know, feel like working with one today. We wouldn't have what we have. What a fucking grand time to be an alcoholic. It's shooting fish in a fucking barrel. Instead of going when... Hello, operator 356. Can you give me the number? Right? Hey, do you got a wet one? Seething at the bit, waiting for a fucking alcoholic to come in so they could treat their alcoholism. Do you know how easy it is for me to treat my fucking alcoholism today? I got FaceTime. I got fucking WhatsApp. I got meetings. There's Zoom. There's fucking directories. There's phone lists. Pick a fucking number, asshole. It's that simple, right? I'm not the dude who goes, oh, I need a meeting, right? I don't need a meeting. I don't go to a meeting to take. I don't go to a meeting to listen. I tell the guys that I work with, when you go to a meeting, your hand is up or out. You will either fucking share some experience, strength, and hope to get a fucking sponsee, or you will make somebody feel welcome the way they made you feel welcome. That is it. That is our purpose. My primary purpose is to stay sober, help another alcoholic to achieve sobriety. We don't get well so we can work with others. We work with others so we can get well. The circle and the triangle, there's unity, there's body, mind, and spirit. How do I treat my body? Well, I treat my body with the fellowship. Because if I'm hanging out with you two fucking dummies talking about sober shit, we're not at the crack house with crackheads doing crack shit, putting shit in our butt. We're not doing that shit.
Yeah.
How do I treat my mind? I treat my mind through that 164 pages of the big book. That's the recovery, right? But my mind and my body are now sober. But what about that fucking unease and discomfort that I have inside? How do I treat that spirit? I treat that through the 12-step work. I treat that through strenuous work with other alcoholics. The book tells me I need a sufficient substitute that gives me that same feeling of ease and comfort that a drink and a drug will fucking give me. And the only way that I'm going to get that is that fucking warm and fuzzy feeling when I am actually, my spirit is lifted by helping you save your fucking life and wanting nothing from you in return, right? That's the three parts of my, are you okay? I mean, dude, this is supposed to be joyful.
It is, actually. No, it's a lot. It's amazing. You're showing me so much of my recovery, like right now.
I love you.
You guys that are listening, you know, we don't know. My brother overdosed in September and I can handle shit myself, right? That's what my alcoholic mind tells me. And I didn't know what to do when I got the phone call. And the first person I called was Justin. And he said, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Don't move. And I just sat there for 10 minutes crying. And so, like, I love you so much. Like, you were there for me in a time where I don't let people be there for me. And you showed up in 10 minutes. So I trust you. And when I hear you speak and how far you've come, even in the last 8 months, I honor and I respect you. And again, I trust. So I know that if I do the work or take the suggestions that you're telling me and that I can be free and pass this to the next one who's suffering that is still alive before maybe they're not, like, hello, that's it. That's it. That's all I have to do.
That's all you have to do is just give so freely of your time. Make it the priority. This is an altruistic program. Altruistic means selfless. How do I know? Because I read the fucking definition of what altruistic means. Whenever I see the word must, it tells me that that is not a suggestion. We must or it kills us. And that's the fucking thing that I want to say is everything in that book. So the book is a textbook. You know what a textbook is? It's a study manual. It is an application for living that if I apply those words that is written in that book into my life seems to go a lot fucking smoother. Do I worship the book like a Bible? No, it's a textbook. It's a study manual. Just like if you want to solve a math problem, you go to your fucking book. You don't worship the math book, right? You fucking appreciate the information.
Boom.
My head's so far up my ass, I have no questions. It's amazing.
So
what should I do?
Read the fucking book.
Work with others. Read the book with somebody who can translate it for you. So then you in turn can translate it to somebody else. There's always time in the day. Strenuous work. Strenuous means going out of the way. We go out of the way to treat our soul. We go out of the way to treat our spirit. And maybe, just maybe, may I stay, God willing, just another day sober. And maybe, just maybe, I won't be a fucking asshole today. And I won't be thinking about myself or how much money I need to make or how good I need to look. And here's the thing, too. I'm going to finish with this is like, I wish I could have talked about this. It's like, there's this one part that we write. It's like, you know, think I need people, places, or things to change so I could feel better. And there I was trying to manipulate and move things around me, people, places, and things, so I could feel better. And there I was trapped. waiting for these things to change so I could feel better. The good news is that I could be healed or helped, and people, places, or things don't have to change for me to feel better. And how do I do that? Working with others.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these stories have touched your hearts and left you with a newfound appreciation for the incredible strength within us all.
And if you found our podcast to be a source of inspiration, we'd be extremely grateful if you could take a moment to rate and review us.
Yes, review us, review us.
Your support helps us reach more people on the path to recovery.
And while you're at it, hit that follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Remember, you're not alone. One day at a time, we got this.